Blog Talk Radio.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hey folks, what's up? This is D-Bert, a.k.a. Afro Nerd, and welcome to another edition of Afro Nerd Radio. And we have the return of Mr. Starks. We have the return of Mr. Starks.
D-Bert, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. I'm angry, man.
What's happening, people?
I was going to use a less flowery word, a tamer word, like frustration. But I'm angry. I really am, and I'll get into it. I'm not going to, like, just, you know, try to pussyfoot around my verbiage. Folks, again.
No need to bring any flowers to this one.
No. Well, if it's your grain.
Leave the flowers out.
to the graves, maybe. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, folks, again, we have yet another fascinating spellbinding show. At least I think it is. You can reach out and lend your support or your opinions at 646-915-9620. Again, it's 646-915-9620. As I always say, we take all credit here. You can reach us at by email or by IM instant message at afronerdradio@yahoo. Again, that's afronerdradio@yahoo.com. And, of course, the chat room feature at AfroNerdRadio.com. Again, that's AfroNerdRadio.com, because all this comes from the blog AfroNerd.com. So I'm mentioning everything here. So we have a media conglomerate on the internet. So we'd like for you folks to join us and give us your opinions on this subject. What we're going to talk about this week, we're talking about Black Pride. Does it really exist anymore? And that's why I'm angry. You know, I don't know if it really exists in the way that I remember it as a youth. I just don't see, you know, we have Michael Vick in trouble, you know, and a whole host of other athletes that are constantly in the mix. We see our rappers are constantly in the mix, at least the commercial rappers are constantly in the mix. You know, our imagery's at an all-time low. Thank God that Obama is there, but then again, we're trying to authenticate him. He's not given his due. So, you know, where are we in 2007? I mean, I don't know what to say about this.
Lost.
Yeah, we're severely lost. You know, lost like the TV show. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. So again, folks, and maybe our listeners, and I know folks out there are listening. Don't be shy. Give us a call, folks. I want to hear your thoughts. I mean, do you think about these issues? I think about this kind of stuff. I mean, what do you think, Mr. Starks? Do you think that when we were growing up, man, you know, we had the dashiki thing going on, and you know, Jesse Jackson was a popular figure. He wasn't the mess that we see today. This is pre-Al Sharpton.
Yeah, Missy Jesse. Yeah, exactly. I mean, listen, hip-hop was producing better music and conscious music, and, you know, folks in general were walking around and being a little bit more conscious and a bit more respectful. There wasn't so much madness around us. The children weren't so out of control. I'm not really sure what happened. You know, there can't be any Black Pride because we don't have Black love.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. And, I'll tell you something more personal as to really what prompted me to come up with this subject matter was, you know, we received an email. We receive emails every day, obviously, and we receive requests for links and for support and or if they're going to if a person wants to send us something, which is fine, and we always appreciate emails. But I received an email from a young lady who has a blog. I really can't call it a blog. I think it's just a fully manned site called thepearlmag.com. I'm going to give her a shout out. This may be a backhanded a backhanded way of giving her some promotion, but and it's nothing about her personally. I mean, she seems to be, I guess, an affable young woman. She's a graduate of Stony Brook here in Long Island, New York, and she's trying to promote herself just like we're promoting ourselves. So again, her website is called thepearlmag.com. So she was asking for a link, and listen, we try to help out as many people as we can because, listen, we like to support and we like to reciprocate when we can, but you know the problem is she said in the email that she was willing to take criticism, and I didn't formally respond to her. Perhaps I will. I just haven't had the time to really get back to her. But it was if you could see, I mean, I don't know, Mr. Stocks, I don't know. You tell me if I'm wrong in this perception here, but. She again. The blog is called. I'm still calling it a blog. The site is called The Pearl, and she has a whole mantra as to what a pearl is. So I'm going to read you. I'm in this site, and she says, "What does it mean to be a pearl?" She says, "You have class and style. You take care of yourself. You know how to dress to attract positive attention. You strive for higher education. You're less naive and more worldly." These are some heavy words here. You see, you would normally get me with this kind of stuff. You want to learn more.
Very heavy description.
You want to learn more and explore all the world has to offer. You are the urban sophisticate. You know when and where to keep it real. Okay, this is when it starts to go down. She has it in. She has hood in parentheses, and also in quotes. When to let your sophistication shine through. Your friends are not embarrassed to take you places. You're sexy. Okay, well, you know, she's a young woman, so, you know, whatever. But when I opened this site and perused it, and after having read this mantra, she has, at the time, because it's dated, it's like just like Apple Nerd is dated, we go day to day or whatever, for that day that I first opened this thing, she has, she gives like an accolade to 50 Cent. Oh boy, it's hard for me to continue because it's so crazy, and I can't just chalk this up to youth. You know, she says something. She kind of lambastes a video. I think his latest video. She really wasn't crazy about from a musical standpoint. But then she says, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here. She says, well, 50, you know, you kind of disappointed me with this particular video, but we know that you can really do it, and we know, you know, you are a pearl. Now.
Now, how can that? Now we go back to the words that you gave us to define pearl as she uses it, and now to say that 50 Cent is a pearl. How do you get to that point? How does she make that connection? Which is why we have an issue with her message, because there's a contradiction here, and one of our platforms is consistency. We really try to promote and believe in being consistent. And there's a complete inconsistency here. How is this guy a pearl as defined by her? How can that be? If anything, he's a dirty piece of coal.
Crushed coal.
Fresh out the box.
Yeah. But, I mean, listen, you know, we're talking about, it really comes down to popularity now. Just being popular equals good now. It. I mean, you know, Hitler was popular. I mean,
he's a pearl.
Oh, maybe in this book, maybe in this magazine, he might have made it. I mean, our young people are just completely lost, and I don't see. We need to have, like, as you just stated, there's got to be a consistency of morals, a consistency of what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, we're just lost, man. I mean, I'm at a loss for words just trying to explain this.
Exactly. 50 Cent is no great black thinker or figure.
I have a dream that one day.
That's not 50 Cent, people.
This is the same guy that came out recently in an article that tried to throw some steam on Nas, stating that, well, the reason why Nas distanced himself or, or became standoffish from his fan base because he reads too much. When he were on tour, he noticed that he was reading, and that reading kind of messes up. Again, paraphrasing what 50 Cent has said, messes up his ability to connect with his audience. So I don't know why he's doing that reading stuff. This is what.
Well, apparently 50 Cent isn't a big fan of books.
No, but he, in a way, he is because he has his own ghetto literature line. You know, the whole, you know, that everything is geared. I mean, we haven't even done a show on that. That's worthy of a show also. The fact that our books right now, if you go to a chain, that you'll be hard pressed to see or to find the autobiography of Malcolm X or biographies on W.E.B. Du Bois or any of our greats, because this hood literature has taken over that. I mean,
if those are the kind of books that black folks will have in their house on the bookshelf, then I again question their reading capability and their choice of literature. So, you know, just because 50 Cent is behind that type of book and promoting those kind of books, this guy's out here to make money. And he knows there's a segment of the black community that supports that genre and buys those kind of books. Although you and I, you know, we have our own opinion about that particular type of writing. And again, we could do a whole show on that and get into it, because we've spoken about that on several occasions. But I'm still going to go with my original assessment. This is a guy who's not a fan of reading or books.
No, and you know, listen, of course, you know, these guys, they hold someone like Donald Goins in high self-esteem, whereas, and again, you know, we're talking about the James Baldwins and the Richard Wrights and individuals from that set. You know, really, I mean, maybe I'm being bougie, as they say, but this is our culture. This is the background or the framework that we should be looking towards when it comes to our literature, and we're not seeing that. So this is what I mean, that this seems to be a series of events, a series of things that are just breaking down what it means to be to have black pride. And, you know, when you and I were growing up, we were taught these things, and, when you encounter the generation that's coming up after us and you speak to them, everything is like, even when 50 Cent, not to just talk about him, but he's the poster child for some of this nonsense, but when he talks about about producing a new album, it's like, well, you know, I hope it's going to sell. It should sell out the box. I mean, why don't you talk about the album from a musical standpoint? And it's like, where are we going with this kind of mentality? When is it appropriate to talk about how much you're going to sell? Isn't it about whether your product is any good, or if you're trying to now, what is your statement coming out from your music? This is not the type of talk that's going on now.
Let's be frank about it, D-Bird. I mean, this is a former drug dealer, so how much he sells really is, you know, the kind of business he's been into for several years. I mean, this is what this guy's about. This is his mentality. So he's just taking his street game into the music game. How much he sells is what this guy does.
That's true, but my problem is they were dealing with an entire mentality of this way. No one... Years ago, if you spoke to, it's going to sound crazy, but you know, I hate to even mention these people in the same breath. But when you spoke to Stevie Wonder about his album, okay, or even Prince or anyone that was really the real deal, they would talk about the album, and of course they would say what they would hope that they would do well or whatever. But they never spoke about it purely from a fiduciary standpoint. It was never how many albums am I going to sell.
They give a complete analysis of their work. This is what they would do.
Well, it's supposed to be art. Is it art or is it a product? You know, but so, you know, not to go off tangent, but this is what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with this kind of mentality. And, you know, I kind of wanted to also, there was something else I wanted to bring up too in regards to, we would be remiss in talking about, and this is all mixed up in just, our imagery with trying to portray black pride. This Michael Vick thing is really on I'm almost done with it, because I've committed to two entries with this thing, but I guess my problem with this, Mr. Starks, is that we're dealing with people, with our own folk, if I use it that way. I'm trying to distance myself from tribalism. We're trying to get away from the tribalism thing, actually. But you have certain folks that share our hue that are looking at this from a totally different mindset, that this is a racial situation. He should be excused. Stephon Marbury came out recently and he said he should be excused. Cut him a break. He's human. People hunt. The pigskin, the football. It's made from animal. From animals, and the leather is made from animals. I mean, just reaching. So far reaching and excuses.
I doubt the animal that the skin came from to make the football was raped prior to creating the football.
Yeah, he had rape stands and drugs and, there's accusations of these dogs being thrown from places and drowned and electrocuted.
Electrocutions.
Just all kinds of madness. And, you devote a mansion to this. You devote, it's a mansion in the woods, and you were talking about bloody carpets. And just completely outrageous. And instead of some of the African community coming out and calling it for what it is, that this is criminal activity, that this is racketeering that's attached to it, gambling attached to it. This guy had a $130 million contract making an excess of $60 million a year with endorsements included. And you do not screw that up for foolishness. You do not do that. No one rational does that. And instead of, we've become, or some of us have become, a community of racial enablers, that we have to go to some kind of racial element instead of dealing with this thing. We would be far more successful in dealing with the racial BS when once in a while, when stuff is not what it's supposed to be, we come out truthfully. Because we will always be perceived as being credible. Going back into the whole thing with racial pride or black pride, that kind of thing. In the 60s, when you had Dr. King with his nonviolent precepts, the world was able to see. He was a genius in letting the world see that we're not the ones that are fools here. We're not the ones that are sicking dogs on us. We're not putting fire hoses on anyone. We're just human beings. And he was able to let the world see that America is not exactly what it purports to be. That was the genius of Dr. King. And there was the dignity that was there. The world was able to see this. And if anything, black folk were able to be perceived as being of having a moral high ground. Everyone was able to say, okay, we have to go. Even though it's kind of crazy, even when those who go to the Asian continent, you know how the Asians are perceived to be wise. And even though it's a stereotype,
yes.
There's this belief that you go to an Asian person, which is it's a stereotype. But you go to an Asian person, that old Asian person, because that's where you get ultimate wisdom. You're going to get the truth. And in a way, the African American community during this time period was perceived to have a similar moral efficiency. We've lost that. There's no way we can be perceived as being moral people if you have these clownish pundits that come out, and then when it comes down to saying, listen, this guy, he screwed up. There's no excuses for this. It's not a racial thing. I mean, you have a few conservative cats that are doing this, and a few
it's
other people.
It's not enough, though. Just a few doesn't matter. This is why, as a community, we're not going to gain the respect that many of us out here begging for, because we should be speaking out against this madness in mass, and these type of atrocities need to be spoken against. This guy needs to be banished. Black folks need to come out and say so and say that we're not going to tolerate this behavior from this loser. And until we do that, other folks are going to look at us with a
slant
eye.
And the main thing also is that, again, if you want to go into the racial thing or into the racial kick or the racial world that Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton deal in, when those things come down, you'll be ready because people see you as being consistent. You're
exactly.
Actually...
We should not be wrapping our arms around this guy because he looks like us, simply because of that fact. And that's what many of us are doing. Because this guy is black too, we're wrapping our arms around him and making excuses and coming up with all type of wild scenarios and alibis and trying to whitewash and whitewash, and trying to lighten what this guy did. We're talking about violent acts committed against essentially a household pet.
But this is the imagery. And again, I think I might have even mentioned this in the entry, is that if this guy had some kind of peculiar bloodlust, get a farm. If you're going to stretch this kind of argument, he could have been a farmer, slit a pig's throat, or chop off a chicken's head or something.
Get a part-time job at a butcher facility or something during the off season. If you want to mess with meat and see a lot of blood. I mean, this guy had a lot of other choices.
No, but listen, if you have these people, they're going to tell you that. Some of the players from the Falcons also came out and, you guys. I mean, again, just the victimization. You do not put someone who makes $60 million a year as a victim. I'm sorry, he is not a victim. He's a fool.
No, everything can be attributed to wrong place, wrong time. You know, folks need to really stop, man.
And this again relays, and the reason why we're mentioning this is because this really relates to Black pride and. Where is it? I've never, obviously we know where to go, because I go to the past. We go to certain individuals. I've mentioned Randall Pinkett in the blog before. Randall Pinkett and this guy is all but forgotten. One of the winners from the Apprentice, Donald Trump's Apprentice. But no one talked about that. This guy's resume was so impressive. He's really like a modern day polymath, as they say, or a Renaissance man. This guy held like 5 or 6 advanced degrees, and I mean,
this guy's credentials were out of this world. And it's just you and I have spoken about this guy on several occasions. It's just crazy how this guy was minimized on the show by being asked to share his win with that chick, which was crazy. And then after being minimized, this guy has been completely forgotten about, despite his credentials. And not only by other folks, but by us.
Yeah, black media. I was going to get into that. Black media has forgotten this gentleman. And this
black
guy,
pride, if it did exist, would have caused us as people to support this dude, lift this dude, and carry this guy, and not forget this guy. Simply because, forget winning that show. Because I really, I told you before, I felt that this guy's credentials were so out of this world that I just believe him going on the show and even winning it was just another notch in his belt. He really didn't even need Donald Trump on that show. But we really need to stand behind this guy. And once this guy was really brought to the forefront, we just need to keep him in mind. I mean, this is a guy kids should be looking up to. This should have been a modern-day hero. But just 50 Cent and the rest of these losers, this is somebody that folks need to be looking up to and supporting. We hear nothing about this guy now.
Yeah, well, Gerard McClendon, who we highlighted in the blog with the Axe or Ask campaign, he had mentioned in this snippet about certain aspects of the black community are really about anti-intellectualism. And this is evidence. This is evidence of that because, really, Pinkett is an example of a scholastic version of Michael Jordan. He's a scholastic Michael Jordan. But you're not hearing anything. I mean, it's one thing for white folks to not, or white media, if you want to use that terminology, to not give this guy any kind of run or burn or accolades or anything, whatever euphemism you want to use. But I didn't see him on any of the in the black media outlets. I mean,
that was my point. I mean, who cares what they perceive him as, even if they don't want to keep the spotlight on him? We know what they're about anyway. But we should have done that. That was our job to do. And once again, collectively, black folks dropped the ball.
Folks, listen, for those who are listening, give us a call. I want to hear what do you think about this subject. Can you give us some instances of black pride circa 2007? The first person I would go to is Obama, but he's relatively new on the scene. And you know what? Actually, we have a caller here. Let's see what this gentleman is going to say, or gentle lady. Okay, hold on.
What's up, brothers?
Okay, tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
This is Culture Fresh from Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. How's it going?
Good, man.
How you doing?
Just wanted to say about the apprentice guy. I don't know if I was listening on the computer, so I might be actually a little bit late. I don't know if you stopped talking about him or not. But if you look at the first apprentice guy, the black, I can't think of his name, but young black kid. Now, he went out and he got his own PR people. And he went and he was in front. He did about, I think it was 40-some speeches that year. He capitalized.
Kwame, right.
And he's supposed to have this, supposed to have developed that development in Prince George County. I've been trying to track that development because it was a good idea. Rosewood in Prince George County is supposed to be a $1 billion development. I don't know what's going on with it now, but if you go to his website, I mean, Kwame, if you look at what Kwame has done versus what the other brother did on their own, so I was found it interesting, you know, that you guys were almost saying sort of what liberal blacks will say about, you know, the system, like, how come nobody supported? What about him doing his own media campaign like Kwame did? Kwame's younger than him. This brother has more smarts in the business world. He should have known how to capitalize on his media. Kwame set up a media campaign, and Kwame's speaking fee was at one point was $25,000 per speech.
He has the heat from the show. I mean, the show is going to do that. I mean, even Omarosa is still around.
Right. So what's up with this? I think it's a personal thing. I don't think it's that the community is not supportive, because we supported Kwame. We laughed at Omarosa. I mean, Omarosa goes on the show. There's some of us that will watch, you know. So they make some money off of the advertising that some black people are going to want to see Omarosa. So, I mean, but to me, it's his choice that he stayed silent and quiet.
I don't really agree with that, because this guy, from my understanding, is an intellectual heavyweight. And he does have his own business.
Right, and they're in New Jersey.
Exactly, New Jersey. And I think it's just the nature of the scholastic element of it, the business element of it. Trump, you know, God bless Trump, but Trump has made himself a personality. That's true.
True.
But when it comes down to just business as it is,
uh-huh.
business doesn't come off as sexy as entertainment.
But where's Kwame at? And why can Kwame get all those speeches? And why could Kwame? Because Kwame came out with a media campaign, and Kwame's not more tied in than this guy is. Kwame had less accolades at that time.
Well, in some respects, Kwame was the first. You know, this guy's like the third or fourth season that he came around. So you know, everyone at that point, even Bill Rancic, I think Bill Rancic was the actual winner. You saw him here and there. I'm more interested in black media not really reaching out to him or interviewing. Listen, if somebody wins something, you know, whether it's a Miss America, whatever title it is, that person is going to be contacted. We're going to find out. Let's find out who this person is. This is
right.
a black person, because listen, let's face it, the imagery of a black male specifically nowadays, the stereotype is someone who was not articulate, undereducated, the whole thing. This guy debunked everything. And the reason why Obama is getting the kind of attention he gets is because he's treated as if he's an anomaly when he really isn't, but he's treated that way.
Well, Obama, I think that goes back to the color bag thing. If you want to talk about that, the Obama versus this, you know, I can say that because he's of a different complexion. You just said that you expect that black media didn't reach out to. Why would they reach out to Obama versus the smart guy? Because Obama, you know, Obama's smart, very smart. And Obama is media. He's media savvy, one, but he's also TV ready. The other brother wasn't TV ready. And I've contacted both camps. I contacted Kwame when he won, and I wanted to have Kwame on the show, and I wanted to make sure that the more famous shows on our station had Kwame on. They never caught back to us. Now, I will say in other brothers' camp, they did get back to us, but they never did a follow-up call. So we followed up with them, both winners, male winners, to try to have, you know, I consider both of them winners because they got to the places they got to the end of the show. So I don't consider either one of them a loser. They got to the end of the show, and they outlasted everybody else and outsmarted everybody else. But I don't see either one of them. Kwame's people are more media savvy on the bigger media, but I don't see his camp wasn't media savvy, I don't feel.
What do you have to say about this, Mr. Starks? Because I have something else I want to go into, but go ahead.
No, I hear what he's saying, and I partially agree with what you're saying, Carla, but I still say that our community really should have, you know, again, this show, he won the show, the first black person to win the show. But even besides that, I just think his credentials, his resume was just so fantastic that you know, once this guy won the show and was propelled into the spotlight, it was really our responsibility, again, for our black media outlets to really reach out to this guy and kind of support him and for us not to forget him. And I really believe that we failed at that.
But there's a whole host of folks that have no media savvy, as you put it, that we
right.
put on a pedestal that are black as tar. Okay, if you want to get into the whole skin tone issue, so we got to cut the mess up, brother. Listen, this is we got to stop this. Obama is obviously even he says, I wonder what the big deal. He said, you know, it's so funny. Even he said, listen, it can't be a physicality thing.
Let me ask you a question.
I shouldn't have looked like a black man. I mean, you know. So this is
let me ask you a question about the people that are propelled into the media that are of that complexion. Are they propelled into the media in a positive light, like Obama? In other words, are they propelled into the media to look like Sambos and buffoons, or are they propelled in the media and given the same beautiful light that Obama is given?
Show me one
dark-skinned brother that was propelled in a positive light versus an angry black man like Michael Vicks, like Wesley Snipes, or a buffoon like Flavor Flav. You know, it's not – think about it. I'm not saying that – I'm saying black media. I'm talking about – I'm with you. Where's black media on this?
Well, this is what I'm getting at.
He might have some. The call might have somewhat of a point. I mean, Deeper, what's your take on the whole Obama girl thing?
Don't even get me started on that crap.
Rooted in that.
Exactly. And what's the brother down in D.C.? I'm not D.C. What's the brother down in Tennessee that lost because of that same bullshit? I didn't say the word bullshit.
Yeah.
No.
What's
brother down? Harold Ford.
Well, that proves my point. Though they cut Harold Ford down. You know, and he's a fair-complected brother, so what is that?
But he was liked by the black media establishment, though. He was considered a gift. You know, the brother that I can't think of his name right now. He's kind of dark.
Patrick.
He's made fun of all the time.
Devon Patrick. Listen, isn't this Michael still there?
And Cory Booker. Look at Cory Booker.
Well, Cory Booker's catching hell right now, though.
Now, but I'm saying, Cory Booker was looked at as, you know, the savior for Newark by black media. I think we got some of the same black media issues that conservatives say about liberal media. We got the same issues in our community, except it's not liberal versus conservative. It's what the people in power of black media think is media ready versus what, you know, should be put out there. Because you don't even hear about Brother Arthur Gaskin.
I don't believe in the skin tone thing. It's not about the skin tone. No. It's not about the skin tone thing. Because that's in our own heads. White folk, listen.
You must be.
No, I'm being a realist. White folk have already established this. Okay, they've already set the rules. If black people want to deal with this minutia, which is what it is, it's an insanity unto ourselves. So what I'm getting at, and where I differ with you on this,
right.
is that we have embraced a certain negative tone.
I'm agreeing with that.
When it comes to black folk, as I had just stated with the Michael Vick thing, we're prepared to celebrate this man falling from grace. We're going to come up with so many excuses to
celebrate. You mean to celebrate? We're happy about it?
I'm not saying celebrate. Maybe I'm using the wrong terminology. What I'm basically saying is we're not coming to the plate to – we're coming to this guy's defense in mass out of a negative situation. When it comes down to something positive, we're not there.
You know what? I'm not trying to be funny, but when you said that, you know what I just thought of? Who were the two brothers that came out against them? And what complexion were they?
Well, who was this?
Brother Sharpton and Brother Simmons. They came out right the first day, right against them. Right step in line with Peter, saying, look at that Negro.
we have a bunch of clowns that we are prepared to go to the full yards for with these people.
And when I don't know.
You turn on the TV.
Look at Alsha. What I'm saying to you is the black media, the establishment you're talking about that didn't embrace. Can't think of his name right now, but Paul brother.
We didn't listen. White folk embraced Obama to a certain degree. Black folk did not embrace Obama.
You know why though?
They're still questioning Obama.
You know why?
Tell the truth, I don't know why.
The black establishment didn't. He didn't come to them and say, "I got to work with through you, and I got to wait my turn before Hillary comes up." Come on, let's keep it real. He didn't. The black establishment, the black political establishment, and the black establishment.
I'm talking about black people. I know why Sharpton. I know King Sharpton. You got to go through King Sharpton to get
and Jesse Hussle.
Well, his co-president. They share the title, of course. But at the end of the day, we're talking about a campaign of negativity that black folk, we can't even look at things clearly anymore. That is the crux of my argument, that we're not able to see these things clearly. If a man is throwing dogs off of roofs, he fell into that. That wasn't his fault.
I'm not sharing that clarity.
Listen, you need to start picking up these newspapers and looking at what's going on the internet, because there's 50% of us that have already
Who supported Michael Vick? Who is saying that dogs should be killed? Who is saying that?
You need to speak to Stephon Marbury then.
Okay, now that's a good example. Let's take what Stephon said though.
Talk to the Falcons teammates.
Okay, but his team, I mean, that's not fair. That's his team. They always go support each other. They're supposed to support each other.
Talk to half of Atlanta. It's already said that the black population in Atlanta are split on Michael Vick. And yet people said, even though they know he's wrong, we still support Michael Vick.
Okay, so
They need to be run out of time, bro.
Okay.
They need to be run out of time. That's what I'm saying. But listen. We got to take a break.
All right, cool, man. Cool. Talk to y'all next week.
Listen, we'll contact you behind the scenes, bro. We'll
okay.
Talk to you
all right, bro.
Thanks again.
All right, peace.
Take care, my man.
Okay.
And by the way, I want to shout out all the light skinned cats.
Oh, here we go. we'll get into that because he's going somewhere.
Hey, the caller brought that up. Man.
He's going somewhere. These white folks don't give a damn about some Negro being peach color to another Negro being chocolate color. It's not real. It's not real. Okay? You and I both know that.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
Why we still do this? Come on. A white man, listen,
okay.
Obama even says in so many words, I'm a nigga. Why are you still giving me beef? That's what he has said.
You and I knew the return was coming. It's here.
You know? Okay. 1986 again.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Listen, let's take a break. We let the caller, because he has a radio show himself. We let him kind of filibuster a little bit, but we'll be back in a few moments. Let's listen to let's listen to the past. We'll be back.
Now we demand a chance.
Good God. What's
yeah,
up, folks?
I wish I did hear black folks saying that loud.
What's up, folks? Callers, we see you. We see you. Give us a few moments. We're just chopping it up for a few moments. That, of course, was the famed Black and Proud song from the late 60s, the late Godfather of Soul, James Brown. We're having that kind of music, Mr. Starks. This is what I'm getting at. You know, listen, the last caller is entitled to his opinion, and again, he has a radio show. We're going to talk to him behind the scenes about his thing. But I just do not agree that, you know, he's trying to make some kind of claim that. Do you understand what he's trying to say? I'm kind of lost on what he was trying to say. I don't get it. My main point is we have clowns of every hue in the African American community that I can find them. Okay, from Bones Thugs and Harmony Cats, from that side all the way to Wesley Snipes. That listen, once you have that African DNA in this culture. And you screw up, it's a wrap for you. And whatever, and my problem is that in the African-American community, there needs to be more people talking truthfully about some of the pathological behavior that we're putting on a pedestal and not dealing with, and constantly falling on the racial sword every time something goes on, that you know, or falling on the victimization sword is doing us a disservice. If we can be real, if we can be correct, I ain't saying real, if we can be correct and honest about some of the BS, then we can deal with the real stuff. Then we can deal with the stuff that gets Reverend Sharpton and Jackson orgasmic. Okay, you have anything further to say on this before we go to the callers, Mr. Starks? Or
yeah, I just want to clarify something pertaining to the last caller. You know, it's not that we're saying that black folks are supporting the torturing of dogs. The problem we have is that black folks did not come out en masse and say what this guy did was wrong. Period. And we do not support him. We will turn our back on this guy collectively, and we have nothing else to say about this guy or to this guy. That's what black folks did not do.
Listen, we voted in a crackhead in D.C. Next caller. That's it. That's it. We knew he smoked crack, and we voted for him anyway. Enough. And you know what? He is a dark-skinned cat. Exactly. Okay, let's go to the caller. Okay, caller, tell us who you are and where you're calling from. Welcome to Afro Nerd Radio.
Afro, how you doing, brothers? IQ calling from Oakland. Thank you for the invite, man. I caught it late, and I didn't even know if I missed.
Oh no, you're in. You're on time.
Oh, okay, great, great,
and you're
great.
You're clear as a bell.
Yeah, no problem.
You're clear as a bell, IQ. So. You know.
Great.
I don't know. So what do you think about what we're talking about? You know, with this whole issue of Black Pride, do you see anyone promoting Black Pride in 2007, or do you feel prideful? Does Snoop Dogg get you prideful? What are we dealing with here?
I think we're dealing with unconsciousness. I think a lot of them probably want to make songs that or put out material that will wake up the youth, but they're afraid. You know, they're cowards. I can just say that. They're cowards. And for those who do go out and do it, they have some sense of not pride, but they don't care what the media is saying and what the public is going to think. They're going to put out what they feel is right, and to the contrary, they're cowards. It's as simple as that. I mean, after all these years, we're going to sit up and say the same thing, regurgitate the same material over and over, and we're just cloning clowns, like you say. The clown clones another clown, clones another clown, and is losing its art form, and it's really like disturbing, because I'm raising my children on a whole nother, you know, perspective, but they still come in the house with it. So I, you know, I have to deal with them. I'm not going to jam the artist up and say, man, well, why don't you make a song that's saying something, you know, instead of, you know, talking about these things that don't mean nothing. So I think the pride issue has to start in the home. First of all, you have to be taught pride and dignity and that comes from education, from your family. Then once you go out into society, then you have to make a distinction what is the culture saying and what they are learning at home. But, you know, how it is now, our homes are broken up. So when we go into the culture, we can't even identify ourselves in this culture. So we deface everything around us. We tear up us and everything around us because we have nothing in this society that we can identify with other than McDonald's and chicken and, you know, and Nike. And that's retarded, man.
Well, you know what the problem is also is that, again, there really is a cottage industry that is centered around menstrual behavior. and minstrelsy, and it's at an all-time high. I mean, you know, years ago there was always that minstrel element, but we were solely not in control of it. We were obviously not in control of it. And when we did get some kind of control, whether it was Ebony magazine, because as I mentioned in earlier broadcasts, I collect old vintage Ebony magazines, and when you see what was covered in 1945, what was covered in 1955, and how really, to tell you the truth, really, the celebrity culture, because you had a celebrity culture back then, it took a back seat to scientists, to politicians, you know, to world leaders. Those are the kind of people that you would see highlighted in Ebony magazine circa 1955. Now you go to 2007, you see Beyonce on the cover of Ebony in 2007. You know, so we have a problem. And even when even our artists back then, whether it was Harry Belafonte or Sidney Poitier or James Earl Jones, Ozzie Davis, Ruby Dee, I could name them just off the top of my head of tight artists. You still had, when black folks said, okay, we're going to take over this, there was a concerted effort to say this is blackness. I could go through the line of, you know, whether it was James Baldwin or Langston Hughes or Zora Neale Hurston, all these people.
Wow.
isn't it scary? Now, if you go to 2007, Snoop Dogg. I mean, it is. Michael Vick is out here. Stephon Marbury. These are the people. You know, Jamie Foxx. I mean, he won an Oscar, but he's still a clown. I mean, we do not have, and these guys are not going to jeopardize their wealth for honor. They're not going to do that. If you listen to the stories of Sidney Poitier and these actors and actresses, they jeopardize money because they were so concerned about the imagery that they were putting out there. Diane Carroll, these people.
Right.
These people, they're from we don't see these. We have a whole conglomerate of clowns.
Right.
I mean, you can't have Denzel's the only one holding it down right now. He's the only one.
I was talking to my wife briefly about, out here we have the Hi-C movement. I'm in the middle of it. And it's really, you know, pervasive out here. But it's predicated upon not just the music or the name Hi-C. What it is the ecstasy pill. And they put all these different drugs into this one capsule, and they call it the Superman. So she just told me, I know it's called Superman. She's not on the street. She go to school. You know, at UC Berkeley, I'm sorry. And
right.
She told me, she said, there's a song called Do the Superman. I said, you have to be lying. She said, no. And the kids just run out. Then my son come in, Do the Superman. Man, do you know that they talking about Do Ecstasy?
That's
in that
real
song? That's what it means.
I can believe it.
That's what it means. And once they take that, whatever the moment dictates, that's what they become. If you dumb, you're going to be dumber. If you're a killer, you're going to be a killer. It's a mood enhancer. So that's what's keeping the youngsters unconscious, and they don't want to talk to you. So they mood change up. So when you're getting at them consciously, they don't want to hear it. They get any fear, it's over with.
But, you know, a major problem, again, is that we have adults, we have black folk that are coming out en masse supporting negativity. You know, when someone screws up, they don't really screw up anymore. They're not even accountable. You know, Michael Vick, I keep on going to this guy because, you know, we have to understand something clearly, that when someone makes $130 million, this is industry development money. This is enough money to create industry in the African-American community. Instead of doing that, he goes into pit bull racketeering. I mean, and black folk, instead of dealing with that issue, they're like, this guy is a racial victim. This is not the guy. This is not the guy to do that. I'm sorry.
That's ridiculous.
You know, and it's crazy. But listen, again, we appreciate when you call. Glad your phone is working, man. You sound
man,
nice and clear.
You know what? I got a phone for you. I got it. I called AT&T. I'm like, I don't really like y'all. I want to support y'all, but ain't nobody black got no phone. So I just went ahead and got it for you, to be clear.
Man, we appreciate it. You can call anytime.
Very much. Man, keep me updated, because sometimes I don't even really be on the computer a lot no more. So when I look, I can be able to get that a day ahead of a time, so I can be on top of the schedule.
You'll keep you informed. We'll let you know.
Thank you.
We'll let you know, definitely.
Brother.
Peace. Thank you.
Take care, my man.
Okay. Listen, man, it's so many things that I wanted to get into, Mr. Starks, you know, because I wanted to kind of get into a little bit of the, you know, some of the things that
My man, the last caller is from the Bay Area, right?
Yeah, he is. We played one of his songs, actually. We played one of his songs.
Shout out to the Hieroglyphics, man.
Right. From the Bay Area.
I was watching some videos on YouTube. Shout them out.
I wanted to really get into a little bit of the Harlem Renaissance, and I mean, I mentioned some of the key figures, but just what it meant, the Harlem Renaissance and the Black Power movement. I mean, these are certain, you know, I could tell he knew it, but when someone actually says it and says it plainly that these are our heroes and this is where we come from and this is what we are, this is where we are now. Sometimes I think people have to literally get a piece of paper and say, okay, this is what happened before 1980, and this is where we are now. What is going on? So there's a definite dearth of black pride. There's something is missing. You know, I feel prideful. I know you do because we read a lot. We know. We search. I mean, and there are modern day heroes: Devon Patrick, Obama, Oprah. We know that they are there. You know, we're very much aware of that. But I think that that they're just not as in your face as these clowns. And to support clowns. You know what?
No, and the kids aren't being presented with some of these people that you mentioned. Listen, these parents aren't taking responsibility, and they don't know about these folks, and they're not passing this information on to their children. Then it's clear how the problems are born and how they escalate. It's clear.
You know what? Let's take another break. I really want to play this song. This is a protest song of sorts. Let's get into a little bit of Billie Holiday, Strange Fruit. And if I have enough time, we'll explain what a strange fruit is. And we may end up becoming strange fruit, Mr. Starks, if things continue. So
exactly. I feel that way.
Let's get back. I want to get into a little history with this song, and we'll be back in a few moments. Strange Fruit by Billie Holiday. Definitely a protest song. Something that I recollect her stating in interviews that you know, as a when she would travel through the South, again, lynchings were at an all-time high during the 30s and 40s, especially in the hundreds, and that if you know her traveling with her bandmates in the deep South, it wasn't uncommon, you know, in the backwoods areas, and, you know, in these really horrific, impoverished areas, though, you would see black men swinging from trees, literally like, quote-unquote, strange fruit, blood on the leaves, you know, black bodies burning. These are some of the things that she said in that song. So I figured that it would be appropriate to play a song like that because it's a part of her history, not only the aspect that she's talking about, the subject matter, but who she was as a historical figure. And you know, now we have Remy Ma. So, I'm angry. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe I'm not with it. I don't know. You know, Mr. Sauce, what do you have to say about that? Am I out of touch on this or what?
No, you're right. And I'm just trying to get back to the place I was before the song played because you can really feel and hear the pain in that song, man. It kind of took me to another place. I had to regroup for a second.
Yeah, I did too. It's a very visual, haunting record, and it's again, you know. Matter of fact, I mentioned this to one of my father's. I couldn't say he was a customer. It was a young gentleman in the barbershop, and somehow I got into a discussion of Strange Fruit. And when I explained to him that the bodies represented Strange Fruit, he had that look like wow, you know, he was stunned, and he appreciated, I guess, the fact that he didn't know that. It was something you kind of put in your back pocket. But we need to engender this in our youth where they have more oh wow moments. There's a lot of things that I could tell, we could tell our young people that would have them to say oh wow, that would blow their minds. But you're not going to get that from Flavor of Love. You're not going to get that from I Love New York. So, folks, we got to get back to some of this to Black Pride. I don't know where it's going to come from, but the day of the minstrel has to go. It really does, and there's a lot more. We may have to do a part two on this because there's a lot of things I really didn't get a chance to get into. But we got less than a minute remaining, Mr. Stark, so I'm going to let you do your thing and do the closing remarks.
Yes, definitely. I want to shout out that last song you played, Strange Fruit, definitely. But I want to also shout out New York Oil, who has a possible Grammy nod and a new CD out that folks need to check out. This is a guy who's definitely speaking out and completely 100% against the whole minstrel movement. But folks, you need to check this guy out, New York Oil.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, in the write-up on that, I put something on the blog about that. You know, the funny thing is, this may be something from the Grammys. Like, you know, they're tired of the nonsense too. And this guy has to kind of bring. I think people want to change. People want to change. Okay,
exactly.
Folks, listen. That's it. We'll be back Sunday at 8 p.m. for another edition of Afternoon Radio. Good evening.
Take care. Peace.